Come and help Olivia as she opens up your word and this prayer that you taught us to pray, Lord. Help her to just have great freedom as she shares. Just pray you anoint her afresh. But Lord, please anoint us that we would have ears to hear what you want to say to us and to apply it into our lives. For we ask in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you for responding. Sometimes you feel like people are out here just watching. I wonder if you ever feel that pressure, that kind of, you might call it existential angst about what the future holds. You know, we need a bigger house, a faster car, we need that promotion at work, more. That's what our society is constantly telling us. We're always looking towards the next thing. Research recently has shown that 49% of 16 to 25-year-olds feel daily anxiety about their future. Some psychologists have called the generation that we are raising the anxious generation, because never before have we seen this level of anxiety that exists about what is going to happen in the future and what the next day holds. I've been reading a book called The Anxious Generation for work, actually, and it's very fascinating. And it got me thinking, I wonder, is there a teaching from the way of Jesus that teaches us how we can cope with this? That teaches us something different to this cultural moment of more, and fear about what the future holds? And I believe in this one line, give us today our daily bread. Jesus is teaching us to be radically countercultural in our approach to life. And so we're going to spend some time exploring that this morning. We're going to look at three words or pairs of words in that sentence that are going to help illuminate the story for us. But before I even go into that, I just want to put that in context of what we've had. This line, give us today our daily bread, is not the first line of the prayer. It's right in the middle, actually. And I found it so helpful. About a year ago with our community, we did a series on prayer. And John Mark Comer said this. He said, orientation before intercession. Jesus doesn't want us to start our prayers with intercession and with a shopping list of the things we need. And that is very, very tempting to do. He teaches us to start by orienting ourselves in the reality that he is our Heavenly Father. And we begin by praying for his kingdom to come and for his will to be done. And then we move on to our requests. Then we move on to praying for our daily bread. And I've just remembered that phrase, orientation before intercession. And I've come back to it so much over the last year. So the first word I want us to look at is the word bread. When Jesus teaches us to pray for bread, what are we really praying for? Is it about praying for our food, or is it for more than that? Now, it probably goes without saying that the people who are listening to Jesus, bread is perhaps more a staple of their diet than it is for us today. So yes, we are praying for food. But actually, whenever they hear Jesus talk about praying for daily bread, they're going to instantly go back to a story that they have been told many, many times. That's the story of exile, which you can read in Exodus 16. This is a story that would have been passed down from generation to generation, the story that your parents, your grandparents would have told you. That is immediately what their minds are going to go back to. And so as we think about bread, we're going to be thinking about remembering God's provision for us in the past. I'm going to read this story for us from Exodus 16. It is quite a long reading, but I believe it's going to really help us, and we're going to keep coming back to it kind of throughout this, as we explore all three of these pairs of words. So we're in Exodus 16. The words are going to be on the screen as well. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they prepare what they bring in, and it's to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, the flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tents. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who had gathered much did not have too much, and the one who had gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had enough. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. And then if we go on to verse 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna, and it was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so that they will see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. And this is what the story is going to, those who are listening to Jesus and that they are going to be thinking of. They were even commanded to keep some of the bread and keep it in a jar to show their families, to show them the story of how God provided for them in the wilderness. And bread is used in the Bible as a symbol of provision. In the 40 years in the wilderness, God provided for all of their needs. So yes, bread is about praying for food, but it's also a symbol of God's provision for everything we need. These people remember, and we remember, how in the past God has provided for every need, and we believe that he will do so again. Just like that new song that we've been learning, I've seen you move, and I believe you'll do it again. In Philippians chapter 4, we read, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So bread is all about remembering God's provision in the past. And the people of God learned that in a pretty difficult way, to trust that God will provide. But they're still waiting for the provision of this promised Messiah. And the story of the Old Testament, we constantly see this unfolding. Another leader is raised up, and we think, is this the promised Messiah? Is this going to be the one? And then we realize, no, it's not. And the story repeats itself. And so they're bound to be hearing Jesus and thinking, is this the one we've been waiting for? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And in Hebrew, that is made up of two words, bet meaning house, and lehem meaning bread, house of bread. So here's this man, Jesus, teaching us how to pray, and he's born in the house of bread. Is he the promised Messiah that we're waiting for? Around a similar time, Jesus teaches in John chapter 6 that he is the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and live forever. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So if you're listening to Jesus teaching us to pray for daily bread, you're going to be thinking of that story in Exodus and thinking of how God provided in the past. But you're also going to be thinking about how Jesus is teaching that he is the bread of life, how he is the one who can provide for all of our needs. Later on in our service, we'll celebrate communion together, and we will remember Jesus as the bread of life who provides all we need. Sophia Joy, as you grow older, may you come to know that Jesus is the bread of life who provides for all of your needs. So let's have a think about the second pair of words, and that's today and daily. And this is all about trusting in God's provision for today. If we look back at that story, God was wanting to teach his people a really important lesson. And it's a lesson that we often forget. Imagine that you're in that situation, you're in the wilderness, and you're hungry. We read that they're in the 15th day of the second month. You've trusted your leader, and he's brought you out to the wilderness to rescue you from slavery. But maybe you're beginning to wonder, was this such a good idea? Was he the right person to trust? And the people start to think, you know, maybe, yeah, I was a slave in Egypt, but at least I had plenty of food. And here I don't seem to have anything. And God hears your groaning, and he says that every single day he is going to bring this miraculous bread that appears on the grass. Now, I would like to think that I would listen to God, and I would take just the amount I need for that day. But if we're really honest, I think it's very tempting to take more, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God has provided today, but what if there is no bread tomorrow? And then we let all this bread go to waste. And so to teach them that lesson, God wants them to depend on him daily. We read in verse 20 that everything they take that is above what they need for that day spoils and goes off, and maggots grow in it, and you can't eat it. Every single day, God wants to teach them to trust that he will provide, just as he has promised. When Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread, this is the story that they're thinking of, and he is asking us to pray today for what we need today. Dallas Willard puts it so beautifully when he writes like this: the emphasis is on provision today, of what we need for today. Because God is always present today, no matter what we need for today. His reign is the eternal now. So we do not ask him to provide what we need for tomorrow. Today I have God, and he has the provisions. Tomorrow it will be the same. So I simply ask for what I need for today, or I ask now for what I need now. Today I have God, and he has the provisions. Tomorrow will be the same. Jesus is teaching us to cultivate a daily dependence on him. If you turn literally the page from where Jesus is teaching us the Lord's Prayer, he says this in verse 34, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." There's a prayer that I find myself praying often from the Northumbria community, and it's called Expressions of Faith. And it begins like this: "Lord, you have always given bread for the coming day, and though I am poor, today I believe." And it continues, and it kind of goes off that same principle: "You've always given peace for the coming day, and though of anxious heart, today I believe." I find myself praying this when I need to remind myself that God has always provided exactly what was needed. even when it doesn't feel like that, is the present reality. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like that. And sometimes we need reminding. Cultivate a daily dependence on God. Ask today for what you need today. And then when we get to tomorrow, ask tomorrow for what you need tomorrow. Kenneth Bailey puts it like this: to pray for bread without ceasing is to pray for deliverance for the existential angst that there will not be enough. Just last week, a number of our young people were on May Camp, and there's going to be a photo. I just love this photo of our young people worshiping together. And perhaps one of the benefits of being completely exhausted and rather sleep deprived is that you can't really think beyond the day. And I remember on the Saturday evening, at this point, I mean, I'd probably had like 5 hours sleep, maybe, I don't know. Remember crawling into my very cold tent, and I remember praying two things. And I said, God, tomorrow I really need you to give me an interaction with this person. They were in a different group, and I just felt uneasy about it. I said, I really need you to give me an interaction with this person. I need you to kind of orchestrate that. And I need you to speak into this area of my life that I need to hear you in. And I don't remember anything else. I probably fell asleep before I prayed anything else. And the next morning, the first thing I do is I make the trek, as you will know if you have been camping, the very long trek to the shower block. And pretty much everyone else is still in bed, because that's my tactic, get there first for everyone else. And who do I see walking towards me but the very person I prayed for last night? And after we talk, my immediate response is, thank you, Jesus, because I'm like, there are 400 people here. It's not like there's 10 of us and I'm bound to bump into you. My immediate response is, thank you, Jesus. And we go around the rest of that day, and we get to the evening, and I've kind of forgotten what I'd prayed about the night before, because there's enough worry in the day of, are they eating enough, and are they looking after themselves, and where are they? Have we lost one of them? No is the answer, you'll be glad to hear. And we get to the evening session, and it ends, but lots of our young people want to stay. And so there are not very many of us left in the room. And the worship leader says, you know, I've got a real burden to pray for any youth leaders in the room. And I'm standing there and I think, well, that's nice. And I get this nudge from Helen being like, that's you, go up. I thought, oh, right, yeah, that is me. And thank you, Helen, for prompting me. And as I go up, this person that I've never met before, who I've never spoken to, prays one of those prayers where you kind of think, there is no way that you knew that. There's no way you could have known the kind of words and the phrases that he used. And then he said, this is what I think God is saying to you. And it was exactly the thing that I prayed for the night before. And again, I'm just blown away by how God responds and his generosity and his grace. And when we pray for daily bread, we open ourselves up to the possibility of being surprised by God, by his generosity, by his mercy, by his grace. We open ourselves up to joy and gratitude. But the reality is, we also open ourselves up to disappointment when our prayers are not answered the way that we would perhaps like them to. And I've told you that story about how God amazingly answered my prayers last weekend. But what I'd left out was the fact that I have prayed that prayer many, many, many times and not felt like I'd had an answer or not felt like I'd heard from God. And that can be difficult. And that's why praying for daily bread, it is difficult and it's a risk, because you do open yourself up to disappointment as well as joy. Because we are, in praying for daily bread, we're releasing control. In praying for daily bread, we are accepting that we are not in control of any of the circumstances of our life. So if you find yourself in that place where actually you're finding disappointment in prayer, can I just encourage you not to give up? Because it will come. It will come. You just have to keep praying. It's that verse that says, there may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And that joy will always win over. You just have to keep praying. So let's look at our final pairing of words, and that's the us and the our. Give us our daily bread. My guess is that many of us pray the Lord's Prayer, and we pray it as we read it. We say, give us our daily bread. But what we mean is, give me my daily bread. Is that kind of fair enough? It's definitely how I prayed a lot of the time. But Jesus didn't teach us to pray like that. He could have said, pray like this, give me my daily bread. But he doesn't. And that's important. This prayer isn't meant to be all about you. It's meant to be about us. And we're going to see how this is about stewarding God's provision. You see, when you pray this prayer, and you pray, give us our daily bread, you can be praying from one of two places. Maybe you are praying this, and actually you don't know where your next meal is coming from. That is the reality for many people in our city and in our nation. Maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, this is actually quite a difficult thing to hear because I don't know about the food that I have for the rest of the day, the rest of the week. And before I say anything else, I just want to make really clear that if that's you and you're listening to this, we would love to help you and to walk with you. In fact, as a church and as followers of Jesus, it's our responsibility and our joy to do that for each other. So if you're listening and you're thinking, actually, I'm not sure where my next meal is coming from, I'm not sure if I have enough, please do not leave this place this morning before talking to someone. Anyone that's wearing a blue lanyard would love to talk. I would love to talk. We run a debt advice center here. We have an emergency food bank. We can signpost you to lots of different places that can help. And so if that's your reality, please, please, please come and talk to us. But the other place you could be praying that prayer from is that actually you don't need to worry about where your next meal is coming from. You have enough bread. And I believe that when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us our daily bread, he is prompting us to think, okay, I have enough, but can I think of anyone that doesn't? Can I change that for anyone? What can I do about that? When I pray, give us our daily bread, yeah, I'm praying for me, but I'm also praying for the man who sits outside Sainsbury's at the top of my street begging. It's not just about us, not just about me, it's about us. And I think Jesus wants us to consider what we can do to change things, how we can become the answer to that prayer for just one person. In a wonderful little book called Becoming the Answer to Our Prayers, Shane Claiborne illuminates how Jesus is all about radical redistribution. In the Old Testament, we're taught about principles of rest. We have a day of rest in the Sabbath every week. And then every seventh year, the land is to rest, and you are to trust that God will sustain the land. And then every seven times 7 years, there is what's called the Year of Jubilee. And in this year, land returns to its original owners, prisoners are set free, debts are forgiven. So once every 49 years, that's about once in a generation, there is a leveling of the playing field. And Jesus begins his public ministry by reading from Isaiah 61. We read this in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he said to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The year of the Lord's favor is another way of talking about the year of Jubilee. Jesus announced that with him, the year of Jubilee was beginning. This is what his kingdom is all about. When we pray for our daily bread, we are praying for Jubilee. We are praying for radical redistribution of wealth. That's what we're asking God for. If we go back to that story in Exodus, in verse 18, it says this: when they measured it, the one who had gathered too much did not have too much. The one who had gathered too little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. There was enough for everyone. One in seven adults in the UK experience food insecurity. 2 million children every year die from malnutrition. Is this because we don't have enough food? Is it because there just isn't enough for everyone? The UN Food and Agriculture Organization did some research, and the food that we waste every year is enough to feed 1.26 billion people, which is double the amount of undernourished people across the globe. What we need is radical redistribution. What we need is Jubilee. And that's what we're praying for. Shane Claiborne puts it like this. It's quite a long quote, but I believe there's so much in here. Those who have been trained to trust in God for provision are the only ones who will ever believe that Jubilee is a good idea. Otherwise, it looks like losing everything you have worked so hard to earn. But if we never earn anything, if everything is a gift, then it begins to make sense that God would want to redistribute gifts as a guard against injustice in a broken and sinful world. Our task is to take enough for the day, to be thankful for it, and to pass the rest along to whoever may need it. Because this is the thing about the bread of life. You cannot buy it. It can only ever be received as a gift. And so, as Jesus teaches us to pray, give us today our daily bread, he's reminding us to remember God's provision in the past. He's teaching us to daily trust in his provision of bread for today. And he's also teaching us to think about how we can steward the provision that God has given to us, to think about how we can be the answer to that prayer for someone else today. I'm just going to pray for us as the band come back up. And in a moment, we will celebrate communion together and celebrate Jesus as the bread of life. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you are teaching us and reminding us of the ways that you have always provided for us in the past. We thank you for the way that you provided for your people in the wilderness for 40 years, that you provided miraculously the bread that they needed to survive. Lord, we thank you that you provide for each of us the things that we need. We thank you that you are the bread of life, the only one who satisfies, the one who can give us everything we need. Lord, we thank you. And we trust you for your provision today. Lord, would you help us to depend on you each day, to risk asking you for the things that we need for today. Even now, just would you prompt us the things that we are longing for, the things that we need for today. Just bring each of those to mind. And Lord, as we pray, give us today our daily bread. Would you keep reminding us and keep prompting us to look around us, to look at how we can steward the gifts that you have given us and how we can become the answer to that prayer for someone else. Amen.